May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 583. We may not be able to sing this hymn with assurance. May we sing it as a prayer for the blessings that are in it. O my soul, admire and wonder, Jesus lived and died for thee. He has broke the bands asunder and from bondage set thee free. Sweet deliverance, Jesus Christ has wrought for me. Hymn 583.
Oh, May the Lord help us to read from the book of Numbers, part of chapter 21, and the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. Numbers, chapter 21. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The Gospel according to St. John, part of chapter 3. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we plead thy mercy once more. We are in great need of it. Lord, we pray for thy help here tonight. Lord, if thou withhold this, Lord, all our meeting will be in vain. Lord, if thou withhold that help, we shall not be able to worship thee. Lord, we thank thee that thou hast laid help on one that is mighty. We thank thee for the record of that prayer of that dear woman of Canaan. Help us to pray as she did. Lord, help me. Lord, we are dead Lord, we are unrighteous, unholy. Lord, we cannot do one right thing. We cannot see without thy light. We cannot walk without thy might. Lord, oh, we pray, put forth thy power in mercy. Unto thee belongeth power. Also to thee belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his deeds. Oh Lord, we pray for that faith which is well pleasing in thy sight. He that cometh to thee must believe thou art, and thou art the rewarder of those that diligently seek thee. Oh, condescend, Lord, to draw us to thy feet. Condescend, Lord, to break our hard hearts. Soften, Lord, to warm the cold heart. Lord, to free the captive heart. Lord, to undertake for the oppressed heart. To wash the filthy heart. Lord, to create a clean heart in us and to renew a right spirit. We may love thee, we may hate sin. Lord, we may believe in thy Son. Lord, we pray for thy Spirit. Hast thou not said thou wilt give him to those that ask? O Lord, and since thou said, thou give him in the name of thy Son, there we would plead for Jesus' sake. Lord, on account of the person and the finished work, the blood and the righteousness of thy dear Son, do give us thy Spirit. Holy Spirit, descend. Lord, oh, may we know the Spirit tonight. Though he, in making himself known, does not speak of himself. But Lord, thy people know his influence. And Lord, though that first work of his, which we've read of, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thy people hear the sound thereof. Lord, the sound of condemnation by the law. If any of us have never heard that, may we hear it tonight. And those of us that have heard it, and perhaps have heard it even this day, the thunder, the lightning of Sinai, the rebuke of the law of God. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the Lord to do them. And Lord, that is our condition as we come into thy house tonight. Lord, and it is not that we have failed to keep some of thy law. We have failed to keep any of it. O Lord, we are deep dyed. We are deep in debt. Hear, Lord, my soul convicted stands, that breaking all thy ten commands, yet full forgiveness is with thee. O God, be merciful to me. Lord, we pray for personal things. We pray, Lord, for felt things. We do not feel our sin, make us feel it. And Lord, where that is felt, may pardon be granted as a felt and known reality. And the blood applied to feel it, to feel the softening, renewing of the precious blood of Christ. Lord, and to feel that love. Oh Lord, thou knowest those that feel thy indignation and feel thy anger. Lord, favour them to know tonight, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is put away, and thou comfortest me. So may they prove his anger endureth but a moment. Lord, bless this people. Hear their prayers. Open the word up to us and apply it to our hearts. Get glory to thy great name. Lord, oh, it would get glory to thy name. If thou shouldst hear our petitions tonight, Lord, if thou shouldst come and reveal thyself, thou wouldst be glorified. Thou wouldst do it thyself. And Lord, that is the only way thou art glorified. We cannot do it. Glorify thy name in the salvation of our souls. Lord, if thou, dear Lord, so base a wretch wilt save, then all the glory shall redound to thee. While here and when I reach beyond the grave, my soul shall sing, salvation full and free. Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies. New every morning great is thy faithfulness. Thy compassions fail not. Thy abundant goodness, providence, but Lord, oh, we would thank thee for thy grace. The unspeakable gift to thy church, thy dear son. The throne of grace, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And we do thank thee for the word of God. Thou hast been pleased for the glory of thy name and for the instruction of mankind to reveal thyself through thy word. Lord, how solemn. All men shall be without excuse. Because thy word is gone out through all the earth. Lord, oh, we pray, bless this people, bless Zion. Any who likewise assemble tonight and those in their own homes, oh, we pray for thy people. Thy word may be blessed to them in thy house or as they read it at home. Lord, we pray for grace to read it more. We pray for the favour of knowing more of thy word, in the power and the reality of it in our life. We be here, not only hearers of the word, but doers also. We thank thee for thy mercies to this people, every blessing that thou hast granted upon thy word and thy help to each one since we last met. We thank thee as we hear of another venturing to follow thee in thy ordinances. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless and help and grant, Lord, oh, that there might be those daily renewings. And Lord, grant their help to abide in thee. Lord, let it say to thy disciples, now ye clean, through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you. Lord, abide in thy people, that they may abide in thee, that they may abide in union with thee and with each other. Grant this blessing to this people here. And Lord, we pray for those who yet seek thee, all thy people, Lord, for those who long to find thee to their soul's satisfaction, who long to hear the Saviour say, I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Lord, help them to seek on. Help them to remind thee of thy promise that everyone that seeketh. And Lord, when they don't feel able to seek and when they don't feel to be a seeker, help them to groan out their petition, seek thy servant. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. For none seek thee first. Thou dost seek them first. And then they seek thee. Oh, may this work be granted. Bless Zion. Oh, we still wait for the promise of the Father, the outpouring of thy Spirit. Lord, help us to wrestle with thee for it. Lord, unite thy people in prayer. We read of those who waited for the promise of the Father. They unitedly sought thee in that upper room. Lord, and thou didst come. Oh, might it please thee yet to come upon Britain. And wherever it please thee, thy church throughout the world, bless thy people. Thou knowest those that are thine. Lord, help them. Appear for them in every way thou knowest they need it. The dying, Lord, make it light at evening time. Lord, we pray for those who feel the mud wall cottage shake, who cannot say they long to see it fall. For Lord, they see not their signs. They decide thy face. They see their sins. They do not see Christ. Lord, make it light at evening time. Thou art the light, Lord. And then they will say, I long to see it fall, that I my willing flight may take to him who is my all. Help any oppressed, persecuted for thy name's sake. Help any in prison for thy name's sake. If it could please thee, deliver them. They're able to make them to sing praises at midnight as thou didst Paul and Silas. But oh, if it would please thee, bring them out. And those that are in doubting castle, bring them out. Show them the key in their pocket, the promise. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. Lord, help afflicted ones. If it would please thee, heal them. But above all, sanctify it. Perplex ones, those with providential troubles, debts, perplexities, those, Lord, that are surrounded with enemies, those who have, as it were, the children of Ammon and Moab, coming against them, and they have no mind, neither know they what to do. Help them to look unto thee. Lord, hear us in these things. Forgive all we ask amiss. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 69, another hymn that many of us may feel we must sing as a prayer. Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe, by eternal destination, saving grace we here receive. Our Redeemer does both grace and glory give. Hymn number 69.
complete dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What a solemn thing it is to be a son and a daughter of Adam. What a solemn thing it is to be called to preach to fallen sinners as a fallen sinner oneself. What a solemn thing is the truth. Dear Mr. Philpott, in one of his portions he says, there is no room for lightness in the things of God. The solemn, immeasurable issues that are at stake are set forth in our text this evening. For we have set before us the way of salvation. The way whereby a sinner shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that, my dear friend, is the solemnity. Every one of us here this evening will either perish or we shall have everlasting life. There isn't a middle way. Some may feel they're not good enough to go to heaven, but they're not bad enough to go to hell. They are bad enough to go to heaven. Bad enough to go to hell. They're not good enough to go to heaven unless Christ is their goodness. It's been with me the last week or two. Oh, that which holds so many in bondage, and that which besets the child of God so often, are not good enough to be saved. No one is. Are you bad enough to be saved? They shall come which were ready to perish, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. It's not the goodness of the sinner. It's the goodness of God. You're not good enough, sinner, but our text describes the goodness of God. Comes back to me what I said last evening. You may feel to be completely dried up. Christ isn't. He has the dew of his youth. Oh, may the Holy Spirit come down upon us this evening. Reveal that blessed man that rules the courts of bliss. Thus preceding our text says, no man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Oh, that love, the love of his Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Ghost. That the Son should come down from heaven. Make that infinite stoop, and in doing so, gather up all those people whom his father had given him. That chariot King Solomon made, the wood of Lebanon, the base of it, the bottom of it was gold. The pillars of silver, the covering of purple. And this one godly minister put it, that's Christ's chariot. And he stops, picks up every one of his people as he goes through this world. He is still doing so, my dear friend. Does not speak of only his time when in the flesh he sojourned here. Those 32 years. He said when he ascended to heaven, lo, I'm with you always. And how is he? Not in the body, but by the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of the gospel. Paul, right into the Ephesians, he speaks as though Christ, I say as though, well, it is truly so, but what I meant was as though Christ bodily went and preached peace to them, who came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Well, he was in heaven. Bodily, but in the preaching of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if any of you have had a good hearing, you lost sight of the minister. You saw no man save Jesus only. For who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom we believed? A minister wants to be lost sight of, because a minister himself wants to see Christ. The minister knows he can't save those poor souls that are listening to him, but he knows that Christ can. He knows that he hasn't in himself that which those poor souls need that listen to him, but he knows that Christ does. He knows that he himself is not beautiful, but that Christ is beautiful. He knows that he himself must not be worshipped, but Christ must be worshipped. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it is significant that these words were spoken to this man Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night inquiring after truth. Do you ever come to Jesus by night inquiring after truth? That's the place to inquire after it, my dear friend. Him that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And after the Lord Jesus had told Nicodemus of the necessity of the new birth, then he speaks of that further work of the Holy Ghost, by which a sinner is saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mystery that is. It is part of the mystery of godliness. That word in the Epistle to Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. And one of the things that the apostle by the Spirit goes on to say is, Christ is preached and he is believed on in the world. Now that's not the work of man. That's the great mystery of godliness. The faith that believes on the Son of God is the faith of Jesus Christ. I probably mentioned it before, it's something which doesn't often get mentioned in the ministry, the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith, that faith which he himself had, a perfect faith, never did one unbelieving thought cross his mind. It was cast in his teeth on the cross. He trusted in God. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him. Seeing he trusted in him, he delighted in him. And that trial of his faith, in his sufferings, he speaks of it in Psalm 22. But all his faith prevailed. Now there's the prevailing faith of a child of God. And on this ground, a sinner that doesn't feel to have faith may come to Christ. Of course, that coming to him is faith. But the sinner doesn't come feeling to be a believer, does he? Certainly not in the beginning, he doesn't. And very often, subsequently, he doesn't. But that looking to him, Lord, make me a believer. Lord, save me from my unbelief. The Lord Jesus, He often preached the Old Testament, didn't he? He did on that road to Emmaus. Beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Because there were so many types in the Old Testament. Pictures of himself pointing forward to him. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that was God's way, not Moses' way. Moses did what God told him to do. Christ did what his Father told him to do. Ministers of Christ do what God tells them to do. That's what a servant is. That's what a servant is. That's, my dear friend, why I believe I have had to wrestle in coming here this evening to know the word you would have me speak. And that's why I've had to wrestle for his help to speak from the word that he has given me to speak. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because God told him to. As Moses lifted. And he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because there was a necessity for it. A great necessity for it. And if Christ is lifted up here tonight, it will be because there is a necessity for it. Is there a necessity for it in your heart? Have you felt a necessity to have Christ lifted up, even this day? You know, we ministers, of course I can't speak for others, but I know that others have said the same as I have felt myself. There are those occasions in particular in our ministry when we feel that the congregation, someone in the congregation is drawing the ministry out of us. What a blessed thing that is. It was then that Moses lifted up the serpent. Oh, what a necessity there was. And what had brought about the necessity? Sin. Sin. The two great themes of the ministry of the Word of God is sin and salvation. There are many other ways in which we preach of the Lord's help to his people in their life. But every sermon must speak of sin and salvation. Oh, it is sin that puts a sinner in this perishing condition. What is sin? It is the transgression of God's law. And you and I have done it today. We've transgressed his law. We've not loved him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. We have been idolaters, worshipping self or something else. We have been covetous, seeking after, firstly, the things of this world. We've been unthankful. We have been deceitful, a deceitful heart, desperately wicked. Oh, the enmity, the lust. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the sin that the children of Israel were guilty of was murmuring. How often we're guilty of that. Murmuring. Murmuring against God's dealings. Oh, you know, when trouble comes upon us, we make it worse for ourselves by murmuring about it instead of calling upon the Lord in it. Of course, the Lord brings us, if we're his, eventually to call upon him, for we find that murmuring makes the matter worse. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, to him alone do thou complain, and that's not the complaining of murmuring. That's the complaining, like I mentioned in prayer, of Jehoshaphat. Lord, we have no might against this great company, and neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. But in speaking of this necessity, we must speak of something else making the necessity. It wasn't just sin that made the necessity. What was it that made it necessary for those sinners to be saved from their sin? It was the love of God. It was the covenant of God. The election of God. The purpose of God that he should have a people forgiven, made nigh, reconciled unto him, their murmuring forgiven and them cured of their murmuring, though alas, how quickly they fell to it again. The necessity then is made by sin and made by the love and the purpose of God. Even so must Must the Son of Man be lifted up? The Lord, my dear friend, with regard to the account of the sinner, was in no way obliged to give a cure. God is not under any obligation to save sinners. It is of his own free grace. It is of his own sovereign will. Who is a God like unto him who delighteth in mercy, who retaineth not his anger forever? But why a serpent? Why a serpent? Because in commanding that a serpent be made of brass, the Lord God Almighty was setting forth his dear Son. Firstly, the material the serpent was made from, brass, the durability, the ability to endure fire. The altar, the grid of the altar in the tabernacle was made of brass, brazen altar. Oh, the number of fires that brazen altar withstood. The flesh of the lamb was burnt on that altar. The flesh of thousands of lambs was burnt on that altar. The brass wasn't burnt. The brass endured. And it didn't corrode. Incorruptible. Oh, how beautifully this sets forth the person of Christ. Oh, how he endured the trial that came upon him from the moment of his birth to the moment when he laid down his life. How incorruptible he was. When the fire of temptation burnt so vehemently in his soul's experience, he did not waver for a second. He could not waver. And how, as he walked on this earth in our nature without sin, in the fire of the temptation, all those things which the sinners among whom he moved and some of whom for whom he had come to redeem, they fell into those things. He did not. But then, why a serpent? Well, the serpent was the emblem of the curse. Again and again in Scripture, right from that early day when Satan came in the form of the serpent and brought upon man that curse in causing him to fall into his dreadful sin. And then when God came and preached that first gospel sermon to Adam and Eve, how the Lord condemned that serpent. On thy belly shalt thou go through this earth. Thy meat shall be the dust of this earth. But the promise, the seed of the woman would bruise his head, though the serpent would bruise his heel. But that serpent that bit those Israelites, oh, what a curse that was. It came upon them because of the sin they'd committed. The curse of God. I mention it in prayer. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And what is that curse? Eternal death is that curse. The eternal death of the sinner, the unsaved sinner, is the eternal pouring out of the wrath of God. That is why a brazen serpent was lifted up. Because Christ, oh, how completely unlike the serpent he is. There's no guile in him. He doth not tempt. He doth not hate God. He loveth his Father with a perfect love. Nor does he hate sinners as the serpent does. But in what what position is the curse? As the Apostle Paul says, he was made a curse for his people. Made a curse. The curse that was upon them was laid upon him. The sins that they had committed were laid upon him. The wrath that they deserve was poured upon him. The death that is a sentence due to their sin, he endured. The debt they owed, he paid. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must. For the glory of God. He must. There is no other way. These people can be saved. Dear Joseph Hart, in that well-known hymn on this subject, he says, doesn't he? Vain was bandage, oil and plaster. Rankling venom spread the faster. Did these Israelites know how they could be cured of their serpent bite? Did they know how they could escape the fate that had befallen their fellow countrymen whom they saw die before their eyes? No, they didn't know. Did they have an answer? No, they didn't have an answer. Wouldn't the shedding of many tears have been the answer? No. Wouldn't a promise to reform be an answer, a remedy? No. Wouldn't afflicting themselves, wouldn't cutting themselves be an answer? No. There is only one answer. Here is the must of our text. My dear friend, I want the Lord help me to speak of this in a way. I know, and perhaps some of you, when I announced this text, you said, how many times have we heard this text preached from? And you perhaps heard me preach it from it before. Can't he preach from another text? No, my dear friend, I cannot. I can't choose my text. I mean that. It's a reality. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There's no other remedy. Oh, sinner, and as I was saying then, this is the way I seek the Lord to enable me to preach from this text. With regard to this must, to ask you, has the Son of Man been lifted up in your soul's experience? If not, this must, what a needs be for there to be this must in your soul's experience. Desires don't save a sinner. The Lord gives his people desires, but they are saved in the fulfillment of those desires. Conviction of sin doesn't save a sinner, though everyone who is saved is convinced of sin. Coming to chapel doesn't save a sinner, but the Lord often uses coming to chapel for the lifting up of the Son of Man. Praying doesn't save a sinner. It is the answer to prayers. And my dear friend, if you're praying for your soul, those prayers can only be answered one way. You can't get the answer to the prayer to God for your soul through God being kind to you in providence. And you certainly can't get the answer to the prayers for your soul by a minister assuring you it's all right with you. You can't get the answer to your prayers for your soul through a minister comforting you saying, oh, you must be a child of God. Look at these desires you've got and look at these feelings you have. My dear friend, feelings cannot save you. It is nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that can save you. And if you know that blood, you'll have a feeling religion. But you won't be saved by the feeling. You'll be saved by the blood. But in being saved by the blood, you'll feel it as a living, blessed reality. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Did the people lift the serpent up? No, Moses did. Moses did. Oh, you know, my dear friend, God does for sinners what they cannot do for themselves. Can a minister lift up Christ? Well, there's a man of a former generation who was renowned for his preaching of Jesus Christ. There was a man up in the north, and somebody mentioned him, the name of Jesse Delves. And he said, if any man can preach Christ, that man can. When Mr. Jesse Delves came to lie on his deathbed, somebody said to him, oh, you have lifted up Christ so many times. And he said, I've tried to. I've tried to. Meaning he felt in his own soul's feelings, in all his attempts, he'd come short. Because no minister ever will feel that he has lifted up Christ as he ought to have done. The most laborious minister, that is the minister that has labored most, will, when he comes to his end, feel, oh, that I'd served him more. Oh, that I'd labored more for him. Who is it then that lifts up the Son of Man? It is the Holy Ghost. He it is that lifts up the Son of Man. He reveals him. He does so by the Word. When we speak of the Holy Ghost lifting up the Son of Man, we don't mean that the Holy Ghost causes some vision to appear in the sky or before a person, other than the vision of faith. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The first aspect of this relates to the way in which he died. Jesus said himself, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw men unto me. This he said, speaking of what manner of death he should die, that ignominious lifting up on the cross. But many others have died the death of the cross. Many others have been lifted up. In that way, he was bodily. There were two others at the same time as he was. This lifting up of the Son of Man, when God by his Spirit shows a sinner that he himself has smitten this holy man, Jesus Christ is the only holy man that ever lived. That makes him that person, that man that the prophet speaks of. I will make a man more precious than a fine gold, yea, than the golden wedge of Ophir. How precious he was to that thief. But only one of them, only to one of them was he lifted up. And it was in this way the Holy Ghost revealed Jesus of Nazareth as the incarnate Son of God. He saw by the Spirit's revelation the preciousness of that truth, that this was a real man. Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. But he's completely unlike me, because I'm suffering the due reward of my deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, you see, he knows that this person is the Son of God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, made a curse. But enduring that curse, drinking that curse to the very dregs, having a sufficient offering in himself, to put that curse away, to remove it forever, to endure it. Oh, when he shed his precious blood, when he gave his precious life, when he gave himself for those people whom his Father had given unto him, the curse was removed. He bore the whole of it and he bore it away. Every single sin born by him, every single shortcoming. Oh, he came not short. Oh, the great debt of the sinner. He pays every farthing of it. Oh, every stripe that the sinner deserves, he endures it. Oh, the wrath of God, he drinks it up. The cup his Father gave him, he said, shall I not drink it? Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, exalted. That is, lifted up so that the sinner sees him as he really is, by faith. My dear friend, oh, what does unbelief say of God? It says, well, that man in the parable says he's a hard man, an austere man, sowing, reaping where he hasn't sown, and so on. Is that true? No, it isn't true. But my dear friend, it isn't any use us just saying it's not true. Just because we read in the Word and we've heard of other people. My dear friend, God in dealing with his people He brings them first to know him in his just wrath, his displeasure, and his infinite demands. And sometimes those people under this sore law work, they fall in with the devil, speaking of what an hard God he is. Maybe someone here has known what it is to say things that you're ashamed of. Oh, and you realize that if God dealt with you according to your thoughts concerning him, and perhaps even your words concerning him, oh, he would banish you to hell forever. But when the Son of Man is lifted up, oh, the love of God shines. The justice of God shines. The kindness of God shines. Oh, the love of God flows into the sinner's heart. Here is not a demanding God. Here is God providing. All that he has demanded in his law, here he is in the life and in the death of Christ providing. And here is not a God that is demanding a price for what he has done. No. He could not, for he is God. Oh, my dear friend, for a sight of this by faith. You and I, you know, until the Son of Man is lifted up, that is, until the Spirit reveals him to the eye of our faith, what is our language? What can I bring to thee, God? What must I bring to thee? But when the Son of Man is lifted up, that's what I mean when I say he's exalted in that lifting up. The loveliness of Christ. My beloved is white and ruddy, says the spouse, the chiefest among 10,000. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, and when the Son of Man was lifted up, what do we see? He's lifted up alone. He's lifted up alone. True, there are two, one either side of him. And true, around his cross there is a crowd, most of them are railing upon him, mocking him, having spat in his face and beaten him in the judgment hall. Now they say, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. But he's alone. Now, my dear friend, we need to see a lonely Saviour if we are to be saved. We need to see him by faith, and all his disciples forsook him and fled, and then his Father forsook him. Oh, my God, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There are two truths there. He looked and there was no man. Wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him. Do we not think Christ needs our help? But when he's lifted up, we see he doesn't. And that's salvation. We cannot, my dear friend. It's when the debtor has nothing to pay, when he has no good deeds, no pleasing frames, no softness of heart, feelingly without anything. That's what is revealed when Christ, the Son of Man, is lifted up. What I am trying to get at, my dear friend, is this. He's lifted up. And the paradox is this. When he was lifted up, he came to his lowest place. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He poured out his soul unto death. Lifted up. My dear friend, whenever a sinner believes on Christ to the salvation of his soul, oh, he is seen to be as he really is. That one whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, whose ways are higher than our ways. Remember, my dear friend, that text in Isaiah that I've just quoted, in what context is it quoted? It's quoted in the context of the forgiveness of sins. You say, I haven't a broken heart. Christ had one. My heart is like stone. Christ was like wax. Oh, I haven't sufficient desires. Christ had. I'm completely wrong. Christ was completely right. I haven't anything to give God. Christ had himself to give, and he willingly gave himself. Who gave himself for us, says the apostle. Now, that whosoever believeth in him, that whosoever believeth in him, the whosoever, the Son of Man is lifted up. My dear friend, think of that faith that thief was given. That whosoever believeth in him, the greatness of it. Are thy sins beyond recounting like the sand the ocean laves? Jesus is of life the fountain. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. The blood he shed, he took when he took our nature. The body that was broken was the body which he took. The soul which he poured out unto death was the soul he took when he took our nature. But it's the soul and the body and the blood of the Son of God, the virtue, the efficacy. And my dear friend, this is why he must be lifted up, that whosoever. You can't imagine how your sins can be forgiven. No, because you can't imagine what a Savior Christ is. You'll never imagine what a Savior he is. Because that cannot be imagined. It is revealed by the Holy Ghost. And you cannot believe that he is your Savior. No, how could you? But he is the author and the finisher of that faith. That whosoever believeth on him, trusteth on him, is brought as he is set before them to make that venture. The venture of faith. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Now, whosoever believeth. Go back to that lifting up of the brazen serpent. There were well over 2 million people in that company before whom the brazen serpent was lifted up. But there's one, and he's right on the outside of that immense crowd that we cannot even picture in our mind. But the brazen serpent is lifted up high enough for him to see him, even though it's only a glint in the sun. and he lived. The one that only sees by faith this truth, the truth that his name contains, he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save whosoever believeth on him, in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. They were perishing. The believing on him that delivers them is a real deliverance. You cannot be a perishing sinner and believe on Christ and not know you've believed on him. Because the believing on him delivers him from his perishing condition. I don't say it always gives him an assurance. But that believing on him gives him that ground on which his soul ventures a hope. The psalmist said, didn't he, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Has the Lord ever given you a word of the gospel, a word concerning Jesus Christ? A word concerning him that has come into your soul, and with that word has come hope. Well, with that word then came faith. You can't hope without faith. Whosoever believeth in him. Look at that word in. You see, when Jesus, the Son of Man, is lifted up, the cleft in the rock is preached. That rock that was cleft on Calvary's cross. Jesus, God's dear Son, and the Son of David, one person, a cleft rock, the rock Christ Jesus, cleft, a hiding place, and the sinner that believes in him by faith enters into that hiding place. And they'll never perish there. They enter in by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, as the Son of Man is lifted up, God shows this sinner the infinite suitability of Christ to their case. His blood cleanseth from all sin. His salvation may be had without money and without price. His salvation may be had even though the sinner has wasted the whole of their life, trifled it away, sinned it away. There is bread enough. In my Father's house, said the prodigal, I will arise and go to my father. And what was that bread enough in his house? It was a fatted calf. Jesus Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. He is lifted up for those that have the sentence of eternal death in their soul. Is there one here tonight and you say, my case is worse than anything you've described this evening. I am simply dead. Well, that is what those serpent-bitten Israelites were. Again, referring to that blessed hymn of Joseph Hart, death is within thee. But oh, see him who is the life. See him who says, I am come, they might have life. And he came to the cross, that they might have life. And how might they have life? Through him coming to the cross, through him laying down his life. That life he took, that he might be able to die. And that life he took again. The Son of Man is lifted up. The crucifixion of Christ is not the end of the account, is it? After 3 days, he rose again. Death is vanquished. Sin is vanquished. The grave is conquered. Oh, ransom them from the power of the grave. Oh, destroy death. Eternal life. And what is that eternal life? It is Christ. Some people think when they get to heaven, they're going to be looking round to see who is there. My dear friend, if you and I get there, God will make sure we have eyes for only one. The bride eyes not her garment, not on the crown he giveth. She looketh upon the face of her beloved. That is eternal life. Here below, Christ is the life of the believer. In heaven, he's the life of the believer. An eternal life. The Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them to fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their faces. A given eternal life. A life that cannot be vanquished. A life that never dies. A life that never ends. A life of no sin. Eternal life. The Lord grant us this lifting up of the Son of Man, this believing on him. You know, there is a first lifting up of the Son of Man in a child of God's experience. But what does Peter say in his epistle? He says, to whom coming? Coming is believing. He doesn't put the coming in the past tense. He puts it in the present tense. Abide in me. Keep looking, sinner. Keep pleading for the lifting up of the Son of Man. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ridout will preach on the coming Lord's Day and Mr. Jabez Rutt on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 1000. Ye tempted and tried, to Jesus draw nigh. He suffered and died your wants to supply. Trust him for salvation. You need not to grieve. There's no condemnation to them that believe. Hymn number 1000.
We thank thee for the truth. Lord, do bless it. Lead thy people in meditation. Let us not leave what we have heard behind us when we leave thy house. Do go with us and keep before us in our hearts. And may we be favoured even this night to fall at thy feet, Lord Jesus, believing on thee. Forgive all amiss, keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.